Morning, Christ is our midst. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We'll say welcome and good morning also to the folks that are online with us this morning. Over the years, have attended retreats in the Diocese of the West, mission retreats. In one year, the keynote speaker was their former bishop, Bishop Basil, now of blessed memory. Prior to being a bishop, he was a married priest in the Soviet Union. He spent 2 years in a concentration camp for the crime of excessive religious propaganda. He said the most painful part of his experience was not being in the camp, but looking to his wife's face when he was convicted, sentenced, and taken away. When he spoke these words, my heart ached for him, because I could see how much he still deeply loved his wife. His grace at this time of his life was frail and he was weak. He spoke from a wheelchair. As a ruling bishop, he had a short and difficult tenure. The main reason why he came to the retreat was to ask for the forgiveness of his former priests. He did nothing bad. He was simply a poor leader. As a bishop, the devil puts a target on your back and takes shots, and some hit. I watched this religious leader come before these men with soberness and humility, not justifying himself, but with complete sincerity. From the bottom of his heart, he asked for everyone's forgiveness. If he could have physically prostrated before them, he would have. His heart was totally prostrated. And I experienced a very beautiful and holy moment. He was a saintly man. And this we remember, the saints are not perfect, they're just holy. This morning's gospel is the story of another religious leader. He was not so saintly. The Pharisee, in all his pharisaical regalia, his flowing robes, his prayer shawl, his tassels, comes to the front of the temple, prominent place, and stands before everyone. And like a neon sign, loud and proud, he feigns prayer and tells everyone within earshot, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Under the pretext of prayer, this religious leader calls out his neighbor, the tax collector. He judges his neighbor. He puts himself above his neighbor, telling God and everyone else that he is a better person. Brothers and sisters, something is desperately wrong inside of us. We find it necessary to put down somebody else. Something is spiritually wrong in our souls when we need to boast about how great we think we are. Something is wrong with us when we cannot stand on our own for who we are, but that we have to stand against somebody else or someone else. The Pharisee is pointing to the speck in the tax collector's eye. He's clueless of the log in his own eye. And by the way, whenever we notice a speck in someone's eyes, brothers and sisters, we must consider the possibility of the log in ours. When the Pharisee falsely accuses our Lord, saying, he casts out demons by ruler of demons, our Lord says, we respond to the Pharisees, I tell you, on the day of judgment, when men will render account for every careless word they utter, every careless word they think about, rants on social media today. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Think about that. Words are eternal. You have to be very careful. You know, they say when you type on the internet, it goes out forever. Spiritually, our words are eternal. You can't take them back, even if they're spoken just in a room. The Pharisee continues, justifying himself before God. He says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Now, as we can identify this with this, the Jews fasted Tuesdays and Thursdays. We fast on Wednesdays and Friday. And we also tithe. These are spiritual tools, when properly engaged, edify the soul. We fast, and maybe when it gets closer to Lent, we'll talk a little bit more about how fasting works, but it's to control our passions and strengthen our prayer. And we tithe, as we said last week, to anchor our souls in the kingdom. And we don't boast about it. It's between us and God. That's it. We fail when we tell others. For this Pharisee, fasting and tithing were totally unedifying, empty works that bore no fruit in his life. Now, in the back of the temple, the tax collector is truly praying. He is not loud. He is not proud. He is totally aware of his sinfulness, and he is convicted by the Holy Spirit. He is humble. He is repenting. He beats his breast, looks down to the ground, won't even dare look up at God, but looks down to the ground and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, what does this sound like? This is where the Jesus prayer is born. It's where the fathers are start practicing it. Took it from this prayer, this humble prayer, and expanded it. This tax collector, beating his breast, looking down, spontaneously prays the perfect prayer. It is a sincere prayer, a prayer that arises from his profound awareness, knowing who he is, a sinner. And he offers God no excuses. He offers God no defense. He knows there's a log in his eye, and he says, Lord, he's saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and out of your steadfast love, have mercy on me. Have mercy upon me. This prayer of the tax collector, God be merciful to me, is a prayer that arises only from humility, true humility. And it's a prayer that we all should pray. And we often pray it this way, the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And this is an eternal truth. When we really pray, when we have a good prayer life, over time, the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in us. We will become his temple. And when we become his temple, because sin, God can't dwell in sin, we become aware of who we really are. We become aware of the person who God made, not the person that we're pretending to be or we want to be. But the person, and this is the best thing to be, is become who God made you. When the Holy Spirit comes in us and makes his abode, we are empty of ourselves. We're empty of our own agendas. We become what God made us. We become who God really made. And we find this only through holy humility, being emptied of ourselves. In the words of the elder Joseph, a very holy man, Joseph the Hesychast, he lived not too long ago. So to best help us understand his words, first I want to point out the word humility finds its root in the word humus in the Latin, which means from the earth, like dirt. The holy elder says, we are helped in our humility because we remember who our first mother is, dirt and clay. God bent down and fashioned us from the dirt, then breathe the Spirit of God into us. And in the future, when he takes away our spirit, we again return to the earth. It's fantastic. That's what humility is, to be what God really made you. Jesus ends the parable with these words, and saying that humility is soul-saving. I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. The Holy Apostle James. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resisted the proud Pharisee and gave grace to the humble tax collector. The tax collector's humble sincere prayer made him right with God. And I want to add this morning. The humble person never seeks to be first, nor does he seek to be the greatest. Satan sought to be first. Satan sought to be the greatest. He wanted God's throne and reached for it, but instead he was cast into the deep abyss, the pit of hell. You can't go deeper than where Satan's at. In this world, it's a paradox, but in the kingdom, it is life-giving. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So, when we find humility, we find when we truly live our life in Christ, when we consciously live in his presence, humility will come. Humility comes from our proximity with God. That's it. We grow closer to God, we feel unworthy, and we humble ourselves. It's that simple. The closer we are to him, the more we see who we are, and we repent, and we see how great God is. We dethrone ourselves. We love and appreciate others more and more. And we judge other people less and less because we love them. And we look at them as God looks at us with love and mercy. We're empty of ourselves. God resists the proud. Remember, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And our Lord hears the prayers of the humble. May our Lord have mercy on us and hear our prayers. To Christ be glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.